Let us start from Pasuk Chof Beis. Perek Lamed Zayin. Perek Lamed Zayin, Pasuk Chof Beis. L'chein Emor Leveis Yisrael. This again, this is the Haftarah. We are in the middle of the Haftarah of Parashas Korach. I'm sorry. Lamed Vav. Perek Lamed Vav. Lamed Vav, Pasuk Chof Beis. So again, we have to remember that this is the Haftarah. Someone will eventually open up the door, hopefully. So this is the Haftarah of Parashas Parah, dealing with Tahara. So Chabez says, therefore, Emor Leveis Yisrael, Koyam Hashem Elokim, so says Hashem Elokim, Lo Lamanchem Ani Yosef Beis Yisrael, I will do, this that I will do, I will bring the Geula, I will purify you. It's a little bit possible, a bit frightening. Hashem says, it's not going to be in your Zuchus. Lo Lamanchem Ani Yosef Beis Yisrael, I'm not going to do it because of you. Kiim L'Shem Kodshi Asher Chilaltem, I'm going to do it for my own name. I'm going to bring the Geula. I'm going to bring Tahira. Kiyum l'shem kodshi. It's for my name. Asher chilaltem, which you have profaned, ba'goy amongst the nation. Asher basem shama. I'm going to do it for my own sake. Pasuk of Gimel v'kidashti yeshmi hagadol. I will once again sanctify my name. Hamechulah that is profaned ba'goy amongst the nations. Asher chilaltem b'seicham, which has been profaned b'seicham amongst you, and v'yadu ha'goyim ki ani Hashem, the goyim will know ki ani Hashem, v'num Hashem Elokim, v'yikodshi v'ochem le'ineichem, when I become sanctified by you in their eyes. Let's go read another pasuk. V'zorak v'lokachti eschem min ha'goyim, I'm going to take you from the nations, v'kibasti eschem mikol harotzos, v'veisi eschem el admaschem, I will bring you to your land, v'zarakti aleichem mayim tohirim utahartim. I will then pour upon you water that is tohir utahartim. Mikol tumoseichem u'mikol gilulichem atarashem, from all of your contamination, all of your abominations, I will purify you. And we'll see one more pasuk. V'nasati lachem leiv chadash, I will give you a new heart, beruach chadasha etein b'kirvachem, I will give you a new spirit. I will remove the stone of heart that is within you from your flesh. Okay, that's enough psukim. We did a lot over here. Now the psukim are very easy, so we have very simple psukim. These are very popular psukim. Each psukim. Now listen, there's an idea I want to bring out. I think a very important idea about kedusha tahara. If you notice that I've just read two psukim, a whole series of psukim, and the first few psukim describe the concept of kedusha. And the second set of psukim describe the concept of tahara. And go to a funeral, Rachman Utslan. What do they say about a funeral? In the Kelmole. Kidoishim utahoirim kizoyar harakia. That the neshama should be dealing with tzadikim, with kidoishim uzahoirim. There's kedusha, and there is tahara. The ketores is called kodosh, kodoshom. What does it say? I don't remember. It says by the Keteres and everything davening, you say it's Kodosh v'Tohar. There's din of Kedusha u'Tahara. What exactly is the difference between the concept of Kedusha and the concept of Tahara? And how do they play, how do they work together? So I'm going to see this in a few moments, but let's first go to the Psukim, the Mefarshim, starting with Pasuk Chof Beis in the Mitzudos, David. So the Pasuk says over here, Pasuk Beis says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I will ani Yoseh, so amu b'inyin lo ha'yitziyam yeretz mo'amin, v'l'havim el ha'atzam. I'm going to do all of these miracles, Hashem says, not for your sake, but for my sake. Asher chilaltem, asher nischalel al yedchem. That my name has been profaned because of you. You are the cause why my name has been profaned. And I'm going to vikidashti. May ata now akadesh eshmi hagodol. I'm going to sanctify my name. Next words of the Mitzudos. Vikodshi be'eseyen mikudosh al yedchem leni hagoyim. When I will be sanctified through you, in the eyes of the nations, then oz yedu ha'goyim ashani Hashem ha'moshal b'kol, then when I become sanctified through you at the time of Mashiach, of the Geula, the nations will once again become aware that I am the ruler of this world. Pasuk of Dalit, I will take you. How? By sanctifying my name. I will take you from the nations. Pasuk Chafei Vizrakti, return Lomar, Achaper Avoinam Va'avir Tumas Chatosam. I will forgive your sins, and I will remove the Tumah of your sin. Ki Hazoyas Me Efer Para Hamavir Tumas Ames. Just like one sprinkles the ashes of the paraduma, which removes contamination, I will then give you Chavav Lev Chodesh, return Lomar, Lev Yashar Umuchna, a straight heart, Umuchna, humbled. There are tzayin tov in a good way. We have three very different things, very interesting mitzudos. That a lev yashar, that's number one, person has proper insight, not a crooked person, umuchna, a humble person, a person who's subdued to fulfill the will of Hashem, and number three, v'ratzoyin tov, positive outlook, a desire to do good. Three very different concepts. Each one by itself would be a very big bracha. For a person to have a rotzoyin toif without anything else, that's enough. To be a yashar, that itself is enough. To be muchna to Hashem, that itself is enough. Over here we have a magical combination of the chut ha-mashulash, a very fascinating mitzudas to describe all three things together. Next words of the mitzudas David, pasuk chav zayin. With how far did we go? Let's stop with pasuk chav zayin for the moment. We'll go until pasuk chav zayin. Okay, let's see over here, back, let's see Rashi, the few Rashi that we have, starting with after Pasuk Chof Beis. Rashi says, Lo ilaman chem an yosek ha teshua ha sha'oi shi'achef. It's a very frightening concept that Kadosh Baruch Hu was telling us that the Geula is not going to come for your sake. It will not come because of your zuchus. The Geula will come in the zuchus. Hashem says, I will do it for my own sake. Pasuk Hagim Chavdal, V'kidash li yeshmi u'mahu ha'kidush. What will be the sanctification that I will do? I will take you from the nations. Pasuk Afei Mayim Tohirim Achaper Alechem. I will atone for your sins. Va'avir Tum Oseichem. I will remove your contamination. V'hazoyas Mechatos Hamavir Tumas Ames. With sprinkling the Mechatos, which removes the Tumas Ames. Leiv Chodosh Yetzer Shenischadish Lotayva. I will give you a Yetzer, a desire. Shenischadish Lotayva. Okay, isn't that interesting? What exactly does that mean? That when Mashiach comes, we're going to have a Lev Chadosh, a new desire. Yetzer is a desire. There's the Yetzer Toiv and the Yetzer Hara. So here it's Hashem will give us a new Yetzer, Shenes Chadesh. The Toiv will have a new Yetzer Toiv. The Yetzer Toiv. Shenes Chadesh. It says Shenes Chadesh. It will be renewed. I don't know, what does that mean? Does that mean it's new? Does that mean that the original will be renewed?
Upgraded.
Shenis Chadesh, I don't know what it means. L'toiva. But the Yetzer Toiv comes to a person much later in life than the Yetzer Hara. Chazal said when a person is born, Ki Yetzer Leif Adam Ra Minu Uraf. The Yetzer Hara is evil from the day one, from the moment that the child comes into a world. And when does the child get a Yetzer Toiv? Bar Mitzvah. Bar Mitzvah. So the Yetzer Hara is always 13 years older than the Yetzer Toif. So it's a constant battle in life. You're always fighting an uphill battle because the Yetzer Hara came before the Yetzer Toif.
The same
Lanu Yetzer Toif, that song, okay. Okay, we say that indeed, okay. Let's see what it says over here in Rashi, and that concludes all of the Rashis. Now let's see a few Radaks, and then we'll discuss an important idea. Radak, starting with Pasuk Chav Beis, says, Lachain Mivarhu, V'kidashti Mivarhu, all those Pasuk Chav Dalet Mivarhu. Okay, that's the four Pesukim in a row where he says the same thing, Mivarhu. This is a great, see the door is open now. The door is open. What? So over here we have four psukim in a row where the Radak says it's self-understood. There's no need for me to express commentary. This is a nice trivia question. Some will test you in Tanakh. Where in Tanakh do you find four psukim together when the Radak says I don't need to explain anything to you, everything is self-understood? Here you got it, right here in Yecheskel. See, that piece of information was kedai to come just to come for that today.
Is this the only place?
I don't know. What do I know? But it's definitely unique. The Radak to say four psukim in a row. I'm not going to give you any interpretation because it's so simple. Pasuk Chaf Hei. Vizorakti, I'm going to sprinkle upon you, I'm going to look upon you the word Zerdech Moshal Kamosha Shatame Nitar Bemayim. Just like someone who's Tame is Nitar, is purified Bemayim, Shetoivel Bohem Ubehazos Mechatos, and it's also purified with the sprinkling of the Mechatos. Kain Sotu Hatame Me'avoinois Nitar Bekapara. Someone who is tamei from sin will be purified with atonement. The yonis and tirgim the eshpoik lichoy vechoin kima the dimdakan bimei ad adayusa. I'm going to abandon your chayvos, meaning all of your debts, just like dimdakan you were remembered in your days of youth. Adayusa, I think, means in your youth. Uviktam torto de chato visitcoin, we call soy avoscoin, whom we call tavoscoin, adake yascoin. Okay, I'm not sure what these things mean. Basically, means over here, because Israel is going to atone for all of our sins. Chavav, Venosati lohem leif chadosh, viru chadosh, etem rechemchem, hachidu shahu shayelohem leif shemea. Hashem will renew us and give us a heart that will listen, viruach nechoinu lekabel, divri okel yisparach biava. V'chein will be mekabel Hashem's words with love. V'chein tirgim yonis and leiv dochil v'ruach dochila v'chein leiv o'evin tirgim liba rishia means a heart of stone. A heart of stone, a wicked heart. To sakif kavana, wickedness is hard like stone. Leiv basa leiv rach v'nochil lekabel atoyv yonis and tirgim leiv dochil v'kodamai l'nevad ruusi. I'll give you a heart that's interested in doing my will. All right, I don't really know the Targum too well, but that, let's leave with that. Now, before you go further, I want to point out the following concept. What exactly over here is the difference between Kiddusha and Tahara? If you notice again, back when we started Psukim, Hashem says, back in Chabez, it says, L'chim d'yafor, emor l'veis shol koim Hashem l'okim, lo'y l'manach mani yosib, veis shol kiim l'shem kashi, and then Pasuch of Gimel says, I'm going to sanctify my name. Okay, and then he goes on to conclude with these powerful words, "Bihi kodeshi vachem," I will be sanctified through you, le'enehem, in their eyes. There is a chilul Hashem that is continuously going on in this world from the time of the Churban Beis Hamikdash, as we learned yesterday. The fact that we are in Golus is the ultimate chilul Hashem. The umoy sa'olam, they look at us and they say to us, if your God is truly such a powerful, almighty, omnipotent God, why then are you in Golus? Why could he not protect you? Why could he not give you security in your own land? It must then be that your God is nothing special. He's weak. And they do not realize
that,
what?
Either that,
yeah.
You are no longer his chosen nation.
Right.
It's your fault.
You have been exchanged for another nation. So this is a chilul. That's the Christians. That's what the Christians say. You have been replaced. Replacement, what do you say? Replacement theology, is that your term? That's your term?
Not my term.
Okay.
The term.
Replacement theology. That's the nature of the Apikorsim. Selective psukim. They like to pick up on only another psukim they conveniently forget about. Right? That's the nature of Apikorsim. It's like people who are big miyuchasim. So some of them, the yichus is not of oyim, but they also, they're related to some very evil people also. Selective yichus. They say, oh, you know, he's an enikol from this great Rebbe. Yeah, he's also an enikol from this person who's not such a gewaltig person. Selective yichus. Exactly. And they conveniently choose to ignore other psukim which are obvious.
Go against their theology,
absolutely. There's certain obvious things. I heard, yes, someone told me that he went to Rabbi Shur Tisha B'Av at night. So he said, Rabbi Shur, he said from his father, of Gedal Yeshur, he says, very interesting. He says, why is it this man hazeh, we don't have Nevi'im? Why didn't Hashem, you know, in this dark, what would be so terrible if we had Hashem allowed there to be some prophecy, we can have some prophets in our generation? So he said, Gedal Yeshur says, we don't need it because it's so obvious. In the olden days, there was more Hester. So this is a very fascinating idea. There was more, we don't appreciate this. There was more Hester. Probably think about it, it's very, very true. Times were very different. Technology was not like it is today. The world was operating very, very slowly. Okay, a minute took longer than a minute. A minute was like a year. And, you know, the world didn't go so fast. People didn't have an opportunity to really see Hashem's master plan. So Hashem gave us prophets. He gave us prophets which reveal things that were not obvious. Today, any seriously thinking person can see Hashem's plan and see what's happening unfold before him, before this world. It's obvious. You don't need prophets. It's a very powerful concept. It's an unbelievable idea, this idea of what it says. Don't think today that even though it's Einachanami in the Skadnu Hadayrois, and we're on a very, very low level, but yet we have an advantage because we're already at the end of days, and we can look back in hindsight and we can see all this, the whole sequence of events, how the whole world has evolved. History has evolved. And especially in today's day and age with technology, I mean, everything is instant. Whatever happens at the Kaisel HaMaravi, you know about faster than the people standing by the Kaisel know about. Right? You know what's going on. It's a whole new world. It's obvious we don't even need prophets today because it's so obvious. Okay, so you're right. Everything is very selective. You can choose to be blind, and deaf and dumb and totally ignore the obvious. That's where it's a fact. Yeah.
There's a question on that thought. It may be true that we don't need Nevi'im to teach us that there's a God and he's running the world, but if you look at all the Nevi'im, they didn't say that too much because that was taken for granted. Most of the Nevi'os, the prophecies that the Nevi'im said were practical things, what to do, like King so-and-so go to war with King so-and-so. Those issues are very much...
I don't know, there are a lot of things...
Even Gedolim argue about these things.
Okay, but there's a lot in the prophets. It's jam-packed. It's true, there were things, don't go to war, but I think look what we're reading over here. These things over here are very abstract concepts. These are not necessarily practical things telling them. Nevi'im's jam-packed, and everything that's going on, there are multiple layers of interpretation and meaning for different times, like seen in the Farshim. So there's a lot going on in the Nevi'im. You can't just
the Nevi'im have different functions, multiple functions. Some of them involve passing on a knowledge of Torah. Part of it was what Robert Greenblatt calls the oracular function, which means telling of events of the future, and the Musar role was another role. So you see, there's more than one function for three Rabbi Grindel.
Okay, so now let's.
All that's still relevant.
Okay, let's go further. So over here we have over here this pasuk includes the pasuk of Gimel v'Di Kodshi Kedusha, and then again pasuk L'chav Dalad Noch says again pasuk. Then after we finish Kedusha, then we go into Tahara, Pasuk Chafei is Tahara. So we have over here a combination of Zorakit Chemayim Tahoirim U'Tahartem. I will sprinkle upon you the ashes, the water, the mashal here is the Paraduma water, and you're going to be pure. Kedusha U'Tahara. Kedoshim U'Zahoirim Kizoyar Harakia. In the Asara Harugi Malchus it says Kedoshim Tahoirei Lev. What's very interesting is that in the piyut of Eila Eskara that we say, I'm sorry, Arze Halvonon that we recite on Tisha B'Av, look very carefully at the piyut, there's a very strong emphasis on the words Kedusha Utahara. It says the word Kedusha many times, and it says the word Tahara many times. On Yom Kippur, it's not. On Yom Kippur, this Kimat, maybe it says one time the word Tahar, does not talk about this combination of Kedusha and Tahara. That combination is emphasized to a much greater degree in the piyut that we recite on Tisha B'Av. Now what exactly is the chilek between these two? So it's very simple. What is the opposite of each one of these two items? What is the opposite or the contrast to Tahara? Tumah. Tum is something which is contamination. Tahar is to take away the tumah. Someone who is tameh goes to mikvah to remove the tumah, to make him in a state of tahar. What is the opposite of kedusha, the contrast to kedusha? Not chilul, parif. Chilul means it's profane, it means it's choil. What does profane mean? It's ordinary. It's ordinary. It's the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Titus comes. It's mechalel the Kodesh HaKadoshim. It's just a room. It's just a location. It's no big deal. It's not Kodesh. It's not the Kodesh HaKadoshim. There's no Kiddusha. It's a cheder. It's a room. It's mechulol. It's choil. So they're very, very different. Kiddusha, you're going from what's parif, choil, and you're going up. Elevating it, you're making it sacred. Tahara is the removal of contamination. Just because you remove contamination doesn't mean that you've gone higher. Tahara basically just takes away the negative. There's sur mera,
restores
to a previous status. There's sur mera. Good morning, Mr. Glatter. Good morning. How are you? We are restoring. We are restoring. Standing up for you. We're restoring. Restoring from. Tam Chacham.
I thought because I took a haircut.
Beauty before age. I'm standing up for your haircut. Beauty before age. We are restoring. Tahar is something is tame, and you take from tummy. You remove the contamination, but you're not necessarily going up. Sur meira v'aseitov, the concept of sur meira applies to tahara, and the concept of aseitov applies to kiddusha. Let me give you a mashal. In this world, there are many people. There are different types of people. There are people who always will tell you what you're doing wrong, right? Snius, you're not dressing properly. At home, you don't have a filter on your computer. You're a ganef. There are people that are very, very good. You speak Lashon Hara. You talk during davening. There are people out there, and they're very good people. And we need these people, okay? We need people like this. It's very, very important. It's very, very good. They'll always show you your mistakes, your spiritual mistakes. It's phenomenal. That's excellent. There's nothing wrong with that. This has to be done. We have to know what we're doing wrong. Then there are people that we know that are very creative. They're very. They know how to sanctify. They know how to give a good shiur. They know how to give a good kumzitz. A nice singer can get everyone into a state of his oirus of coming dveikus back on the Shbaruch Hu. They know how to inspire people, balei tshuva. There are people that are very good in taking ordinary events or looking at an ordinary person and say, why don't you elevate yourself? Why don't you become a shomer Torah mitzvahs? Why don't you daven with a hislavos, come to a kalbach minyan, and we'll daven with a hislavos, and we're going to elevate ourselves to a higher spiritual level. But if you'll notice, ruba de ruba, 99% of the time, these two groups are mutually exclusive. The people who are very good at telling us not to talk during davening and to dress on a higher level of tznius and to have a filter on our computer and to be ethical in business, which is wonderful, that sug are not necessarily the category of people who really know how to take what's ordinary and elevate it to a higher spiritual level. And the people who are very good at elevating us to a higher spiritual level, more often than not, they're not from the people who don't talk during davening. Those type of people who elevate us to a higher, they have a nice kumzitz, they're not from the people who are the experts in highlighting what's wrong and removing impurities within us. To find a person who can do both, who has that koyach of both, sur meira, and aseh tov is one of a kind. It's very, very rare. Think about it. Think about people who are people of influence, people who are very successful, charismatic, who have brought about very great success in Klal Yisrael. There are two different categories. You don't often find people who can put the two together. The asara harugei malchus, and for that matter, people which we describe in the Kel Mole, we describe as kidoishim utehoirim kizoyar harakia. Kedoshim u'tahorim are people who can synthesize both the Kedusha, to take what's ordinary, chol, and elevate it to a higher spiritual level, And also Tahirim, who have the ability to remove the impurities. The contrast to Tahira is Tumah. They can take away the impurities, the impurities that exist amongst us. It's a very unique blend, a very unique koyach to have both of them together. Think about what it says: Kedoyishemu Tahirim, Kizoyhar Harokia. Why did we use those two words together? What's the Zoyhar? The Zayar means the rays of the rays. That's the positive. The Rokia represents purity. Ketoyar Harokia. What is it? It's the pasuk. Remember the pasuk. The pasuk. Etzem Hashemara. Let me finish this thought. Etzem Hashemara. Latoyar. So what does that say? That the heaven is. You look at the sky. It's pure. There's no imperfection. There's a beauty to it. But it doesn't mean that there's a shine. There's nothing kind of. There's a separate thing. The rokia is tahara. It's lacking defects. It's lacking impurities. That the rokia represents the concept of tahara. Zohar represents the concept of kedusha. It's not just ordinary. There is a ray. There is a glow. There is a shine. So when we say about tzaddikim that we wish that we can connect ourselves to tzaddikim, what kind of tzaddikim? Just the people who are the people who can elevate us, but not all those people who elevate us are tahar. It's a talent. It's a gift to be able to be a kadosh. But being a kadosh doesn't mean that you're a tahar, and being a tahar does not mean that you're a kadosh. It's two different specialties. To be able to have both together, it's one of a kind. And that is symbolized in the theme of Kizoyar Horokia. Ke'etzem Hashemayim Latoyar is Rokia. And Zoyar is, the shine is, that's the Tahara. And the Zoyar is the Kedusha. And the synthesis of Kizoyar Horokia is Kedusha Utahara. Yeah?
It's not a totally rare expression, Kedusha Utahara.
I told you, well, we have it many places in Tanakh.
I'm saying
it's something exactly that we yearn for. We yearn for. The Ketaris is called Kodesh Vitar. We mispalot to come to Eretz Yisrael, B'kdusha V'tahara, in the Kel Mole, Kedoshim V'tahayim, in the Asar Gemalchus, Kedoshim V'tahayim Leif. We yearn for this. But take note that in life it's very rare. It's a very rare commodity to see the synthesis of Kedusha Utahara. And just to bring the point is that's the meaning of Kizoyar Horokia. Zoyar is Kedusha, Rokia is Tahara. It's the synthesis of these two coming together. And that's really what this section is all about. Hashem says, I'm going to give you both. When Mashiach comes, at first I'm going to be Mekadesh, my name, because she, I will be sanctified in this world, b'chem through you, le'enehem. And then, after we have the kedusha, then Hashem's, I'm also v'zerakti lechemayim tarim u'tehartem. There's going to be tahara. This is again the synthesis of kedusha u'tahara. And also take note what comes first. And this talk is very good when it comes to Yimos HaMashiach. Chazal always tell us me'ikar hadin when a person is about tshuva. What is the theoretical plan A to do in the process of teshuvah? Pasuk says sur meira va'asei tov. First, you have to abandon the ra. Person, he eats chazer, he's a machal shabbos, he does kol averos chamuros. So before you come to sit down to the daf yomi shir, let's get rid of don't be machal shabbos. Stop the chaz, no more McDonald's, no more this, no more that. And then when you're all ready, you come, you'll sit to the daf yomi. That's very true theoretically, but it doesn't work practically. Okay, it doesn't work. And that's why all of the G'dayli Yisrael of this generation, the previous generation, they say that derech is today, you want to be about tshuva? No. Go first to McDonald's, have a good supper, have a good meal. And you can drive. Don't you want to come drive here to shul? Just don't tell anyone, and don't park in front of the shul. Don't park in front of the shul. So go have a good lunch at McDonald's, and get in your car and come to shul. Drive to shul and just park around the corner, no one to see you, and come to the daf yomi on Shabbos. and sit down. Asay toiv. And the kedusha of the Torah will penetrate you to such a degree that next week, you know, maybe I'll go by bus. I'll come by bus. And instead of McDonald's, I have Hebrew National at home. You know, it's good enough for me. Hebrew National, it's kosher enough for me. And then when he comes to the Daf Yomi a couple more times, come by bike to shul. And instead of Hebrew National, I'll rely upon, you know, a Hechsher that's not... Like, I don't want to give any examples over here. I'll get into trouble. What? I rely upon a certain hechsher. And then, after a couple of weeks, he walks to shul and he's eating from the OU, the glatt kosher. He's eating.
Don't let Rabbi Ralbach hear you say.
I didn't say anything. Did I say Ralbach? Did I say Ralbach? Did I chas v'shalom say Ralbach? I never said that came out of my mouth. I never said that.
Very.
I didn't say anything. I never said anything. What are you
no
saying?
One said anything.
What?
No one said anything.
I didn't even think about that. I really wasn't thinking that.
On this week's Parsha,
yeah.
Obviously, the Baranel makes a point of saying when it says, Gam Bias Hanaf Hashem Biglalchem, he says, Moshe is telling Klal Yisrael, I am pure. I never did any sins because all the time that you have survived until now is God would never have lived. If I was a Baal Chet, if anything that I did, the reason I'm not going to Eretz Israel is all down to you. Because all the times that God was Mechaper you for Avonos was simply because I was Kadosh V'Tah. If I weren't, God never would have listened to me in the first place. So therefore, the proof is, when he forgave you for the ego, when he forgave you for various chatoim, is because I wasn't a Baal Chet. You were the ones who made the mistake. Never would have happened on my account. You never
okay.
Would have listened. He said that shot in the pasuk, Moshe Eliyahu B'Kohanov, Shmuel B'Korishino, Korim El Hashem Ruhu Yaneim. He says, he answered us because we were not the problem. It was all down to you.
Kali Yisrael was the problem.
Right,
Kali Yisrael. They were pure. They were Kedoshim Utahirim. The problem is in the Kali Yisrael, not in Moshe. They were this one. In Hanami, of course. Okay, so this is the problem, this is the idea, this is the concept over here that we're going to look at this pasuk, is that the combination, the synthesis, the beautiful idea, the combination of these two together. Now, okay, now there's just, again, I really do delve into this. I just noticed this in two places about the idea of La'asalon, this very interesting idea. What did this mean? This, I'll read you the Gemara and we'll talk about it just for a moment. I don't know what this means. Tanan Abanan. First of all, this pasuk, Vizrak Lechamayim, Mayim Torah Mutahartem, I'll just read the famous Chazal of Rabbi Akiva. Ashreichem Yisrael, Lefnei Miata Mitarim, Umi Mitar Eschem, Avichem Shabashamayim, Shnemar, Vizrakti Alechem Mayim Torah Mutahartem. So what's the deep meaning of this chazal? What is he telling us? We already know the pasuk. And the Kiva is coming to say, Lifnei mi atem mitaharin. Two ideas. When a person becomes tahar, are you becoming tahar for yourself, or are you becoming tahar lifnei Hashem? There are two different types of tahara. There's a tahara that you feel good about yourself. I'm tahar. And then there's a tahara that I'm tahar lifnei Hashem. So Rabbi Akiva is coming to highlight the idea that if not for this pasuk, you would think when a person becomes tahar, it has really nothing to do with Hashem. It's personal. I need to be in a state of tahara as a prerequisite before I can proceed to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rabbi Akiva over here is coming to that's not the pshat. When a person becomes tahar, the tahara itself is what brings you close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a very interesting idea, because the person's tummy, like this Tfilas Ezra. So you're not allowed, make our dinah to learn. Person is tummy, okay, because of carry. He's not, according to time of the Gemara, before they were mevatel the gzera, you're not allowed to learn. You're not allowed to put on tefillin. You're not allowed to daven. You can't do anything in Shabbat Kedusha. So when you go to be mitaher yourself in the mikvah, is that tahara have really anything to do with HaKadosh Baruch Hu?
You can't
no.
Go to the
what? You can't go. So it's just something personal. It's a prerequisite which is not positive. It's just like really what we just said before. It is the removal of tumah. The removal of tumah is something which has to be done in advance before you can proceed to grow spiritually. Rabbi Akiva's coming to teach us that's wrong. It's true. It's an impediment. That's a given. But you have to also understand that when you go to mikvah, you're not just removing the impediment. It's also a state of elevation. Tahara automatically brings with it positive. It's not just negative. Tahara, and that is something which you, it's not obvious from just thinking about the concept of that. When you go to mikvah, that itself, I'm now closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I've not just removed the negative. How do you know that? From this pasuk. Because this pasuk says, Lifnei mi'atem mitah, it says, V'zayit l'chamayim u'tahartem, I will pour upon you mayim tarim. He darshes this in the Baruch Hu Gemara. Lifnei mi'atem mitah, mi'atem mitah eschem. Ashreichem Yisrael lifnei mi'atem mitaharim umi mitar eschem avichem shebashamayim. The tahar itself brings you closer to Hashem, and Hashem is the one who is doing this. That's what we just read in this pasuk. Okay, that's one idea. Another idea is Tarabonan. This is something which I don't understand. It's a controversial concept. And let's discuss it. Tarabonan mamzerei unisine tahirim la'asid lava. Unbelievable Gemara Masech the Kedushin of Ayin Beis and in the Yerushalmi that according to Dereb Yosi. Rabbi Meir Oimer Ein Tahirim. Amal Rabbi Yosi V'alok V'anemar V'zerakti Alechem Mayim Tahirim U'tahartem. Amal Rabbi Yishmeir Kishoimer B'kol Tumos Eichem B'kol Gulichem V'loi Ben Hamam Zeres. Amal Rabbi Yosi Kishoimer Atar Eschem Havi Oimer, when it says the words, the extra words Af Min Hamam Zeres. Unbelievable Gemara that when Mashiach comes and is going to be an investigation into everyone's Yichus, somehow they will be al pi ruach hakodesh, or maybe through technology. What? Okay, well, he'll be megala. This is machlekes. Elio Novi will be megala yichus. Today, no one today, as far as I know, is able. And maybe there are people who can trace their lineage back all the way to Yaakov Avinu. Is there anyone today who has a star yichus going back to Yaakov Avinu? Could tell you who their mother was, their father was. Grandmother, great grandmother, go back, trace your blood all the way back to Yaakov Avinu. I'm not aware there's anyone today that can do this. People claim that Miuchasim Rappaport, supposed to be a Kohen. Are you a Kohen? You're not a Kohen. But they say the biggest Kohanim Miuchasim are the Rappaports.
Right.
The Rappaports.
But some of them are a result of adopted.
Adoption.
That was the story about how.
So then.
Rappaport names, not of people on the run.
Okay, so whatever it is, today we live in a very confusing world. We don't know anything anymore. We're all confused. But in any event, we don't really know. So when Mashiach's going to come, there's going to be a revelation of everyone's yichus will be traced back to Yaakov Avinu. How will this be done? So we used to think that it will be done through Ruach HaKodesh. But we know today that we're coming to a point in time in technology that it's not so far-fetched to say that a couple of years through a simple swab of saliva in your mouth, even blood test, yes, blood, even the saliva.
Ancestry.com,
and it's no joke. You can go, and who knows, the day will come when you'll take a little saliva. They can tell you.
They'll
be in the computer. They'll put in the computer. It'll tell you your yichus all the way back to Yaakov Avinu. It's not so far fetched. Go
they
look.
Tell people now, I mean, on that ancestry, there were people they can trace back to William the Conqueror.
Exactly. They have all, it's fascinating. The more people who participate in giving over their, giving samples.
Over 50 million people who come from Genghis Khan.
They now open up, okay, opens up the system, opens up, and you can do trace. So what is going to happen when the computer flashes, a fellow walks into the Beis HaMikdash, and the Kohen says, please, here's a Q-tip, please, we want to take some saliva. No one walks into the Beis HaMikdash until we take some saliva. So you give him the Q-tip, take the Q-tip, he puts it on the computer sensor, and it flashes. Mamzer! Mamzer! Go back 10 generations, computer says Mamzer. Look, I told you today the technology exists. You take a mezuzah, okay? Take a mezuzah from your house, or take out a Sefer Torah, put it on the computer, scan it. This Sefer Torah was written 300 years ago by this Sefer who we know who wrote on it was Machal Shabbos. We can recognize the handwriting. we know for a fact that these Sefer Torah, we know he this Sosov he wrote. The computer recognizes the handwriting, and we know he was a Michal Shabbos. He can't judge him. Listen, he was poor man. He needed the money, and he wrote the Sefer. There's a very high probability that he wrote the Sefer Torah on Shabbos. Exists today. That technology exists. They use it. It exists today. When a Sefer is blacklisted because of some avera, so the database is updated, and anyone that brings in a mezuzah, they right away know that this Sefer it's flat. Just because it's flat doesn't mean that it's possible, because maybe he wrote this Sefer Torah before he got into trouble. If he wrote the mezuzah before he got into trouble, then it's kosher. If he wrote the mezuzah after he got into trouble, then he got a problem. Okay, the technology exists. It's not so far-fetched. Technology does. So what do you do? It's a mamzer. How can you retire mamzer? So the pasuk says over here, according to Rabbi Yossi, that don't worry. Allah Salava, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is going to have a technique, which we don't understand what this is all about. Hashem will be mitaher the mamzerim. No one's going to be put to shame because of a bad yichus. No one's going to. And how do you know that? I know that from the pasuk, from the last words of pasuk Chafei, Ataher Eschem. Because the other opinion, the Gemara was Rabbi Meir. He says, no way, Jose, it's not going to happen. When Mashiach comes, if the computer says Mamzer, you're a Mamzer. Out you go. There's nothing we can do to help you. Sorry, that's the way it is. What about the extra words of the only thing that will become Torah is Tuma and Gilu Lechem. But the words Atahar Eschem, according to Meir, is not going to be darshaned. Will not be darshan in order to allow the person, he's his opinion, to be retired min hamam zeirus. It's very fast. Now, by the way, derech agav, there are techniques. I mean, there are techniques. It's only how to be retired mamzer. So one technique is as a mamzer, he marries a shifcha, and the child then follows the mother, and then you meshacher the shifcha, and you meshacher the child, and then it's a ger. It becomes a ger. If a mamzer marries anyone, the yichus of a mamzer, normally the yichus follows the father. It goes down to the goes down no matter what. But if the mamzer marries a shifcha, so that we once give a whole shir on this, is there a place? Can it be done bizman hazeh? We discussed this today. Can this technique of a person, Rachmana Litzlan, is a mamzer and he wants to have children who will be can be part of a full fledged yichus, can be like basically a ger? Can it be done? So he has to marry a shifcha. Does the concept bizman hazeh of a shifcha, a slave, exist in this world today? So we discuss it does not. In the world today, at least on the books, it does not. Okay, it's illegal. In the United States, it's illegal in every country, even though it's accepted in the entire world, it's illegal, but it's still done in the certain third world countries where people have slaves. It's still done. So the question is,
slaves in this country.
What?
No, those are the slaves. No, they're brought over.
Okay, so you know he's asking. Good. Let's say your people they're not following the laws of the country.
$300.
Okay, it's a good question. So let's say you want to go do under the radar. Okay, you want to go do it under the radar. You want to go take a person who's a Slido. You want to ignore the laws of the country. You want to. There are people out there who are doing these unethical things, these crimes. They're committing crimes. They have the true human trafficking, and they have slaves, and they treat them like slaves, and they own them, they buy them. So would that work? It's a very tough question. What about Dina de Malchusa Dina? Since the government does not acknowledge that this is legal, so that could nip it in the bud. So it's not a shaykh, the concept of a shifcha in America.
How do you marry her shifcha?
You marry.
Just a
what? Yeah. Just law, right? Designation. It's right.
You take shifcha. What makes her a shifcha?
Someone buys her. That's exactly what we're just questioning. Is in America, how do you buy? Let's say I go and I call up in Africa. Let's say somewhere a third world country. They're willing to sell me a person, and I go and I wire them the money, and they put them in a suitcase. And I'm not joking. They put them in a box, and they give them some food, whatever. They ship them illegally. They smuggle them into the country, and UPS it arrives, open up the box, and there is a person. Okay, overnight. It's not a joke. They really do this. Sure,
it's a big problem.
It really happens. They smuggle people in, and they're slaves. They do it for znus, also for znus purposes. They do this. So you're in the United States of America. This is illegal. The government does not recognize this. If they catch you, they're going to put you in jail. They really will. The government does not take this lightly. They don't take this lightly. They're going to imprison you if they find out about this. So it's illegal. It's not recognized. So in halacha, what does halacha say about this? What does the halacha say about this? That's a very big dilemma. It appears that most poskim, we gave a whole shiur on this once. Most poskim say halacha rejects this. It says that the America does not din the malchus dina. If in the government, it's not, it's illegal. So there's no such thing in America as having a slave. So it's impossible for a mamzer in America to marry a shifcha, and to produce offspring which then can be freed and be megaya. And the other countries. So most countries, I think what I've read up is that it's illegal in every country in the world. However,
it's practice.
It's practice, and the government couldn't care less. Maybe there's some bylaws and some documents somewhere. We don't even know where it is that says that it's illegal. But the government that they have more important things to do. People couldn't have what to eat. They're more important getting people food to eat than they're worried about slaves. So let's say you go there. Can you do it? So that's right. The big question is, and we discussed this, is the only place in the world where really this can be done legally and should be done is in Eretz Yisrael. Why do I say that? Because since the government is a religious government, since Eretz Yisrael, I mean, unfortunately it's not, we know, but since the Rabbanut, and eventually it's going to become a Shomer Shabbos government, just think about 20 years down the line, there's no doubt about it, 20 years down the line, it's going to be a Shomer Shabbos government, which is a very big problem because if you're a Shomer Shabbos government, how do you live in a world of Goyim and follow Halacha? I think I told you whether Rav Yashiv or Rav Shlomo Zalman says, make sure the government remains secular. You better make sure the government does not become Shomer Shabbos, because if the government becomes Shomer Shabbos, we're in a lot of trouble. We're in a lot of trouble because we don't know, we really don't know how to deal with the world, a state that's recognized as a state in the United Nations with all of the requirements that come with it in a world that's of non-Jews. They don't follow the Torah. And when they'll hear us enacting laws that according to Shulchan Aruch, it's not so simple. It's a very big chesed in a certain way. I mean, it sounds very bizarre to say this, but it's a reality. It's a reality. It's a very big chesed that the government is not religious.
The Muslim states, they have
worse than
it was.
Muslims, they're not... Okay, you talked about this a long time. You're right. But what is very fascinating is that the only place in the world where this can be done and it should be done is in Eretz Yisrael. Because since Eretz Yisrael, to a large degree, is a religious country, where the Rabbanut have enormous influence over policy and law, they have a power to enact a law. It should be the only country in the world where slavery is allowed for religious purposes. Can you imagine that? They'll pass a law in the Knesset that I'm talking about the Knesset should make a law. They should draft a law that it is legal in limited situations with the permission of the Prime Minister. He has to sign off it for a person, human being in Eretz Yisrael, to purchase a slave and have a legal possession of a human being. Why would Bibi Netanyahu sign off and make an exception for an individual that should be legal? Because if there's a mamzer in Klal Yisrael, the state of Israel, who wants to be metaher his lineage, he should be allowed to marry this slave, to buy himself, to find a nice girl, and we'll go to the nice girl and we'll go to the government and tell the government we want to make her into a slave. I want to buy her instead of marry her. I first want to buy her. And they'll sign off, yes, the whole world, slavery is illegal. But for you, make an exception, I'm going to allow you, the state of Israel, Dina de Malchusa Dina, is going to allow you to buy this woman. So you'll buy her, you'll go to a wedding, beautiful wedding, and then before they do the Kiddushin, the Messiah of the Kiddushin says, we're now about to make a transaction. The Chassan is now about to purchase the Kala. He's going to purchase the Kala, we evaluate her to be worth $5 million, a human being is worth even $6 million. It's a lot of money. You have to do it legally. It has to be done in the Kedas HaChadin. Okay? So it's going to cost to buy a person a lot of money.
Not
so, what? He's paying her family. He's paying her family. Yeah. Whoever has rights over her. Yeah, her family. Yeah, her parents. So I want to buy her. I want to buy her as a slave. You brought her into this world. The parents are smiling from ear to ear. $6 million. You never saw such a happy wedding. Such happy mechutanim. never saw Shabbat Chutarim. They're getting a human being is evaluated in America. I think in America they value a human being approximately $6 million is the price they put on a human being, because that's what it is. A person's worth money. If you have a job and you contribute to the society, you're worth $6 million to this world, to the country. So therefore, l'chadeis, you give. A Maris Machpel only costs $3 million. But to buy a person costs $6 million. So you give under the chuppah, you give parents $6 million. So let me finish up. To purchase the kallah, I now own you. I own you. You're my slave. And then, you know what? I'm going to marry you. Let me marry you. Let me marry my shifra kenanis. I'm going to marry you. He marries her. And then they have offspring. And the offspring are also called slaves. And then what do? You go to Beis Din. You go to the Rabbanut. And then meshachrer the children. Okay, it'll be a big ceremony in the state of Israel to be metaher mamzerim. And then the child is no longer a mamzer, as a din of a ger. Can't marry a ger from an infant, can marry even a kohen. Only time a ger can marry a kohen is only when it's an adult, only when it's 3 years old. And that's it. Maybe I'm making a mistake, I don't remember the halachas. Whatever it is, but it's not. But then the next generation, for sure it's good. And that's unbelievable.
Saying a ger, who became a ger from infant,
yeah,
marry a,
I'm not sure. I don't remember. I don't know. I don't know the answer. I forgot. I forgot the answer. Yeah, but it's certainly not a mamzer. Can marry Yisrael and the lady for sure. And the mamzer can't. Yeah.
What is mamzer?
Same problem.
Huh?
Same thing.
So she has to buy a slave. How do you handle that?
Oh, how do you handle a mamzeres? A woman who is a mamzeres. So what does she do? Yeah. There's no solution. I don't know the answer. I don't know. You know, you're right. I never thought about that.
Okay, seven questions. You said, so he marries the shifter, right?
Yeah.
And then he frees the shifter?
The shifter doesn't. It's too late for her. He frees the babies, the children.
No, but she's not a garrison.
No, she's a slave.
She's a slave.
She has to remain a slave until they finish having children.
So once she has a child, what does he do then?
If he doesn't have to, it doesn't make a difference for her. He can keep her. She remains the same. If he wants to free her, he can free her also.
So he frees her now.
Now he frees her.
She wants to make her a bas yisrael.
Okay.
So what is it? She has to go through gerus?
Yes.
Does he have to remarry her?
He can't remarry. He's not allowed to remarry her. He's a mamzer. He can't marry. If he's going to free her...
She's stuck.
Well, he's not stuck. She's stuck.
She's stuck.
Because if he frees her... Then she becomes Jewish. He can't marry her again because another slave. Another slave.
No,
he's a mamzer. The husband.
No, but when he frees her, she can marry him.
Oh yeah, if he frees her, she can marry whoever she wants. Yeah, right, correct. And if she's a goy, she starts out. He has to purchase a goy, not a Jew, not a Jew. He has to bring in a goy. He has to find a non-Jew for this. So who's going to let you do this? United States is not going to let you do this. It's not going to happen in the United States that they're going to allow someone to buy a person on the books. The only potential where someone will be sensitive to allow such thing to happen would be the state of Israel. And the day will come when it will happen. Mark my word. The day will come when the state of Israel will be the only place in the entire world will be legal to purchase a human being for religious purposes. For the most important thing in the world, b'metaher mamzerim. Why not? Why not? B'metaher mamzerim. This, they've been ready, been lobbying the government to do this. Can we discuss this? Yeah. There are many mamzerim. What are you talking about? There are probably thousands of them.
Thousands of mamzerim?
Certainly, yeah. People who do not have, people who are irreligious in America. You know what mamzerim are in America? You know what mamzerim are in America? People who got married in America, according to Rav Henkin, anyone that had a civil marriage and did not have a kosher get, and got divorced and remarried, the children are mamzerim. Rav Moshe was a tremendous one out, mamish eish lahava, not like Rav Henkin. Rav Moshe says, no, they're not mamzerim because if you have a civil marriage, it's not called kiddushin. So these children, they were living in sin for all these years. When they get divorced, it's not a divorce because they were never married to begin with. Rav Henkin disagreed. Rav Henkin was mamish the gadol hadar. Rav Henkin, until Rav Henkin was nifter, was the god that he passed and he held. We rely upon Rav Moshe because we have no choice. We rely upon Rav Moshe. But according to Rav Henkin, there are thousands and thousands of mamzerim all over America. And when these people find out that their parents had a civil marriage and never got divorced, and the mother remarried and had a child from a second marriage, that means they're a mamzer. So these are very fine, good people. And now they become Bali Tshuva. So what are they going to do? So they're stuck their whole lives? So you can't do that to them. That's not fair. I mean, we're already past the time already. I'm talking going back already 20 years when this was an issue. But now there are new issues. There are new other stories like this. Or maybe there are stories just like this. There are still thousands of mamzerim all over the world. So there's a solution for those who want to go through the process. The solution is find a non-Jew. Still, it's not a problem. So much intermarriage anyway today, okay? 80% intermarriage, okay? So people have a hard time finding non-Jews to marry. And if they really love you, they'll do anything for you. They'll be willing to sell themselves to you pretty much as a slave.
Might be a stretch.
Slave. You know, it's all on the books. It's not, it's all like, you know, it's like selling your chametz. You know, what's the big deal? So technically, according to the letter of the law, it's not so far-fetched to do this. Technically, you're my slave. But I'll treat you like a queen, okay? A slave, just because you're a slave doesn't mean you're like on television, you're a slave, you're in a slum, okay? You're my slave, technically, but you're my wife. You're a queen. So I'll purchase you, and then I'll marry you, we'll have children, and the children will be meshacher, and the children will be fine, full-fledged Jews. They can say, learn kol chazonish. They can be the best bachur in Lakewood. There's no problem. It's a simple solution. But in America, it will never accommodate you. Why? Because what? Because the mother, because you're a child of a slave. For money, it won't be a problem. Money's not a problem. Money solves all problems. For money, it's not a problem. Okay, what? Unless he doesn't want to marry. Unless, if he divorces her, the woman.
But if she wants a divorce.
She's a slave.
She's a slave, she has no...
But she's married, the slave married.
She has
married.
No money, she has...
Right, but she can't each
condom.
But I think if you make a tenai, I think if you make a tenai that when you acquire yourself, you can keep it yourself,
maybe.
I'm sure there's a way, there's a legal loophole, there's a way to do it. But it can be done. But the first thing you need to be done is you need to purchase the person. Where can you purchase the person? There are places that say you can do it in America. So the government says it's illegal. So does the government acknowledge the mechiras chametz? When you sell your chametz to a guy, is the document according to a code? Not necessarily. What? So just because you're in violation of the American law does not mean that halakhically it's not good. When you sell your chametz to a guy, is the document that the Rav uses valid according to American law? So my father was. My father's Chanan Levrach, it was. No doubt about it. It was done mamish with lawyers. It was done halacha and according to all the chumras of New York State and the federal government. L'chol hadeis. But I'm telling you, most Rabbanim, it's not. Most Rabbanim, I don't think I really could say that. I shouldn't say that. But there are many situations where Mechiras Chavez, dealing with Karis. No, not Karis, it's Leisaseh. You sell the chametz and you know the documents that you're using, you know these old documents from 500 years ago. You don't even know what it says there. The documents, then the photocopy is also not so good. Who knows? And what you're signing in Hebrew, and who knows is even kosher according. Who knows if it's kosher according to halacha? Certainly according to the second law. So the Rabbanim say, so it's okay, it's good, just because it's not kosher according to American law, if it's good in halacha, and you're not committing a crime in America, no one's committing a crime in America by selling your chametz to a guy with a shtar. Will the guy have a right to go to court, to go to the courthouse? Where is it located? I have to soon go for jury duty. Where is it located?
Court Street.
Only went there 10 times already for all different issues. So we good issues. No, not in getting in trouble, Bosh, not yet. Probably I know. But Was it legal? The government may not react, but it's okay. So there are many places that say when it comes to this issue as well, being metahera mamzer, you can do it. So under the chuppah, what's the big deal? You find a nice non-Jewish girl, and under the chuppah, you buy her. No one's coming to arrest you. What? You don't need a chuppah, right? But before you do the kiddushin, you buy her, and then you marry her. So the government doesn't allow this. They know about it. You're doing a crime. You're doing anything. They do anything wrong. They're just kidding. You don't torture her. You don't go abuse her. You bought her. Could be. It's no big deal. It could very well be that argument's sake, it's no big deal. But on the other hand, you know, you're dealing with a mamzeris. You're not dealing with the loisase of Bal Yor Bal Yimotze. Bal Yor Bal Yimotze is the 7 days. It's a loisase. There's no consequence of future generations. When it comes to mamzerus, some rabbonim are a little bit scared. If the government holds that it's illegal, so maybe halacha does not recognize purchasing a human being as being you're owning the person. It's a much more significant type of transaction. But if there's one place in the world that we can work with the government to allow this to happen, it's Eretz Yisrael. You have a rabbonut that has enormous influence over the policy of the government. And even people, and we're not talking about wholesale slavery. We're talking about someone who has a need, exceptional basis. So why not? Why not? And that way you can solve a lot of problems. And this is an old issue. I'm not being right. This we gave a shiva like a year ago on this. This is an old issue, and it's rooted in this that's rooted over here. Now that's in this Gemara. This Gemara says that we may not even need this because there's such a concept that HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself was osir letaher es hamamzerim according to the sheet of Rabbi Yossi. According to you don't need to come out all these legal loopholes, all these kunsim. Hashem will be metaher mamzerim just hirosha.
Right.
And that's also very difficult because how do we understand this in connection with the concept of the animamins? Animam shaloi tehe haTorah hazos muchlefes v'loi tehe what's in the loi tehe Torah acher. It's one of the animams that nothing will ever change in the Torah. Nothing will ever change in the Torah when Mashiach comes. It's one of the 13 principles of faith. So how do we reconcile that concept with this that Hashem will be mitaher mamzerim? It's a very difficult kasha. It's a very difficult concept.
Well, not according to Rabbi Yehuda.
Not according to Rabbi Yossi.
Yeah, Rabbi Yossi. That's the Machlokes
Rabbi Yehuda. So then now there's another technique of being Matar Mamzer, and the Gedolim show that he actually did this. This was done, I think, by Rabbi Yashif. He did this on Shlomo Zalman Arbach, and that is that if a husband throws his wife a get, he throws his wife a get, and the get, I don't remember exactly, and the get is a karov loy. The get lands in a place that's right. A doubt. It's I don't remember the halacha, but lives in four amas, then she's divorced. But if the get lands,
on the border, with everybody has dalet amas. So now you're not dalet amas apart. You know, in other words, you're not eight amas apart. So it's in your rishus, but it's also
not in your rishus. The Gemara has a hechatim. So when a man divorced his wife, and the get this does not reach her possession, but it reaches a location which is a doubt. It's a sofek. In halacha, this is called your possession, or it's her possession. So the Chazal says something that is very fascinating. In such a situation, we do not want this woman to remain in limbo for the rest of her life. So Chazal said, in such a situation, they were oiker the kiddushin limafreya. They were never married. Which, because what do you say at a wedding? Harayat mikudeshes li betabazo kidas dalet saf. According to the law of Moshe the Yisrael, that is an escape clause. That is a very powerful clause. That's the old. That's the original prenuptial. That's like the prenuptial, the ultimate prenuptial, which basically means what? Well, that's what Rabbi Rachman. That's very controversial. So that's what we want to do. But we don't want to make new chidushim today. That's rejected. No one accepts what he tried to do. They do this in Queens. People who refuse to give a get. So they say since this kedas Moshe Yisrael, Bismani, you can go and you can be oiker the kiddushin lemafreyash. You can be married without a get. Belsky once did this. You should know. Right, Belsky once did this, when they found out about a person, it was a very controversial case. When they found out there was a person and they got married, and it turned out, that was not Kedas Moshe, that was because it was a Tos. It was Kedushay Tos. And then after they got married, they found out things about the Chosan that were off the charts. Off the charts that you can't even begin to imagine. So, and then of course, so they wanted to get divorced. So he said, I'm not giving you a get. Oh, $10 million, he won't even give you a get. No, there's no get. So they went to Rabelsky. Rabelsky says, you don't need to get. It's Kedushay Tos. Had you known these things, not even in your wildest dreams would you have married him. So you don't need to get. Nothing. Go marry someone else. The whole Kedushay is Bungalow Freya. He did. He mom and passed him. He got a call from Rebel Yashiv, if I'm not mistaken. Rebel Yashiv said to him, according to Halacha, Rabelsky, you go to Hadar. You're the Pesach Hadar. No question about it. And according to Halacha, you're 100% right. But we don't do this. We don't do this in our generation. And if you're going to start doing this, he asked him, where is this going to take us? You're the Gadol Hador, and you're going to start doing this tomorrow. There'll be a guy who's just, he's just not a nice guy. He insulted his wife. Had I known he would have insulted that he doesn't like my Shaitel, I would never have married him. That's what it's going to come to. So I don't need a get. I can go marry someone else without a get. It's a very dangerous path to go down. Where do you draw the line? What's called Kiddushay Tos? So if I'm not mistaken, it's a long time ago, this is probably 15 years ago, Rav Eliashiv asked Rav Belsky to retract from this Psak Halacha, no matter what the consequences are, even if this woman will remain Naguna for the rest of her life, because if you don't retract your Psak Halacha, the disaster that it's going to cause is just going to be catastrophic. And if I'm not mistaken, I don't know what the end was. I don't remember. It was very common. But that's
an occasional case like that.
So different rabbanim, it becomes very ugly. There are different rabbanim. Some say yes, some say not. Okay, and then you have the prenuptials. That becomes a very big issue. And then you have the get law, which was never resolved. The get law was never resolved. Can you imagine all these years? The get law was never resolved. They had one get law which was very good, and then they passed another get law, and then everyone thought it was very good, and they worked very hard. And it was all a shemazel story. And then it turns out that it wasn't so good. And then they want to undo it, but you can't undo it. So now when all these laws kick in, when you have a husband who doesn't want to give a get, and then the knas of the government kicks in, it's a nightmare. Everything is a nightmare. Everything becomes a very big nightmare. Whatever the situation is, there's another concept of being matar, of a man gives the get to his wife, and the get falls in a location that is in the middle, nishtahin nishtaher. So there's a special clause, kedas Moshe v'Yisrael, which now is triggered, since in this situation there's no way to resolve the issue. Is she divorced? Is she not divorced? So therefore she'll be an aguna the rest of her life. So in this particular instance, Chazal made a unique exception that they were oiker the kiddushin lemafreya. They may have been married for 30 years, for 50 years, for 60 years, married for 60 years, and at the end they get into a fight and he throws in the middle. It's as if they were never married for 60 years. And every time they had marital relations, it was a biaznus. It's a biaznus. Better it should be retroactively a biaznus than this woman should remain in aguna for the rest of her life. Oh! So it's the children. So the children now lack yichus. Until now, they have a mother and a father. They have a mother and a father who are married. Now, when this get is suffer kar of law, and we undo, so the children are a product of men and women who live together without kiddushin. They live together, mice and b'chol yom, the people out there in the whole world.
So
they live.
What would happen if one married a kohen?
What would happen?
One of the children married a kohen.
If one of the children married a kohen, so someone who's married out of wedlock is not allowed to marry a kohen. Is that halacha? I'm not sure. As long as it's not a shalav yichus, I'm not sure. But here's the solution for the mamzerim. So let's assume this case: a man marries an eishes ish. Okay, he's mizane. Okay, he's mizane with a woman. And the child's a mamzer. She's an eishes ish. So the child is sitting. There was a maishahaya. There were children that was sitting and learning in Bnei Barak. In one of the most Haredi chadorim in Bnei Barak, and it was discovered that these children that were that were Yukarim, precious children. They were Masmidim, they were Kedoshim or Tohoyim, okay? Perfect. And no one knows the Mamzerim, because the husband was Mazana. So what is so Rav Yasha? They went and they did this. They went and they got a hold of the mother who was married, who was originally married to the first husband, and they had the first husband give her a get, since anyway she was Mazana, so anyway they didn't get divorced, right? Anyway, it wasn't such a good marriage to begin with because he was Mazana. The husband gave her a get, and they had him give her the get in a matzav where it was a safek korov loy, safek korov lo, which now means in this instance the kedushin was nekar limafreya. So therefore, 20 years ago or 10 years ago, whatever it was, she was really never married to her original husband. And thus, when this man was mezane with her to produce these children, she was not an eishes ish. It wasn't they weren't married, but she was not an eishes ish, which means that these children were a namam zerim. So here's another technique to be mitaher mamzerim. This only works if the husband's still alive. You can find the husband, and they're willing to do this. Willing to do it, right? So you got to be able. This doesn't work in every situation. Okay, this does not. It's not a. But this technique, it does work, and it was done, and it is done. You don't hear about these things because these things are done behind closed doors. Okay, but this psukim, these ideas are all rooted in these last two words. These words we learned today, atahar eschem, the principle of being mitaher mamzerin. Okay, so we're going to stop over here. Take a short.